Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. There are so many aspects of life that are really out of our control. There's so many circumstances, life situations. To some degree, it can almost feel like life is happening to us on a regular basis. There's situations, there's people that have an effect on us that to a degree it may feel like I don't have an ability to control what's happening. These people have, you know, an ability to have an effect on my life and I can't say much about it. Circumstances happen in my life and I feel like I didn't choose this. This is what happened to me. There are many aspects of life that feel like they happen to us. And yet, at the same time, we do have a sense of control over certain aspects of our life. There's so many things that we can't control when it comes to circumstances or other people. But all we have a control over, really, the only thing we have a choice over is how we respond to what happens in our life. The perspective, the thought process, the attitude that we have when it comes to these situations that we don't have control over. And the more we can put our energy into focusing on the aspect of life we do have control over, the part of ourself, our thought process, how we think about a situation, or how we think about another person, how we think about what the person said to us. It all affects how I will then feel and respond to that person. The effects of my attitude towards the situations that I'm going through in my life. Then that determines whether or not we can be empowered, we have strength, or we can be just, so to speak, fall apart from the situation. There's an aspect of choice, even in circumstances that we have no control over. We can choose to what degree are we going to be a victim to our circumstances, that they are controlling us, or are we going to rise above the pain or the challenge or the frustration of what's happened to us and focus on what we can do and find a way to bring good, try a way to bring positivity, try a way to build within the realms of what we have control over, and try to put our energy into that. Now, this is not an easy choice to make, especially the more challenging and the more painful the life circumstances are, the harder it can be to make this choice. And that's one, when you see people who have gone and hear people and see people in their lives who are building their lives in spite of pain, in spite of tragedy, these people are truly an inspiration for all of us, whether we've gone through tragic experiences or whether we live our day-to-day lives with its normal frustrations and pain and challenge. Recognizing that we have a choice and that it's up to us to choose the attitude that will determine how those experiences ultimately affect us and ultimately play out in our lives is very empowering. When we return, I want to bring up a specific person who really I recently heard and was a true inspiration, someone who's gone through tremendous pain and tragedy and yet has made the choice to live with a sense of mission and purpose in spite of all the challenges and pain she's gone through. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, this week I went to a very impactful and powerful speech. I had the privilege of hearing the widow of Rabbi Razi Elshevach, who a year ago was killed on his way home. He was shot by terrorists, Arab terrorists. He was on his way home actually to give a Torah class, and he did not make it home because he died shortly after he was killed. And his wife was left, the mother of six children, without a husband. The youngest was not even a year at the time. And she spoke. She came to our community, and she was speaking about her husband, about her family, about their life, about this. Her husband sounds like he was a very, very unique, special, special person, a very learned person. And she said, she gave over a concept that really had an impact on me. I've been thinking about a lot. And she said that after the tragedy that she's gone through, shortly afterwards, she realized that I'm going to use the Hebrew term, and then I will give you my sense of the translation. She realized she had to make a choice. She was either going to be a korban, she was going to be a victim, like a to the circumstances that happened to her, the tragedy, or she was going to live with a sense of shlichut, with a sense of she has now a mission. She has a mission to fulfill in life, and meaning a positive, constructive mission. And she said that she made the choice, and it was a very conscious thing, that she needs to be on shlichut now. With everything that's gone on in her life, she has to live with a sense of mission. And she said, look, realistically, she's made this choice, but it's a choice she constantly has to make. Sometimes she has to make it by the week, by the day, sometimes even from minute to minute. Doesn't mean there aren't times she goes into korban mode, to victim. She's a real person. She has her miserable moments, but it's a choice she consistently has to make. And she was giving this, I was really inspired by, especially with the tragedy that she's gone through, but it was a message she was telling all of us. Hopefully, as she was saying, most of you hopefully have not gone through tragedies like I've gone through, but we also have to make this choice in life. Are we going to live life as a victim of our circumstances, victim to our pain, live life miserably, or are we going to, whatever we go through in life, choose to have a sense of mission, of purpose that comes out of the circumstances that we're in? Question is, how do we do this? Certain ways it's more challenging when we go through tragedy to make this choice, but in other senses, sometimes when life is day to day, it's so easy to just become a victim of this bad thing happened to me, or this I can't move forward in my life because of this. It can be very challenging to very consciously make this choice.
Right. Well, it is an amazing statement and very inspiring and so true. It really is, in so many ways, the Torah teaches us that Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyirat shemayim, all is by the hands of God, but reverence or awe, which is an attitude. And really, the essence of the choices we have in our life, we don't have so much choice in what happens to us. We have total choice in what commentary and what interpretation we're going to give to what happens to us. And that is what she's decided. She said, she's deciding, I can interpret this and decide that I am a person of misery. I am a victim of misery. And one could wallow in their self-pity. And she would have every right to do that. It would be legitimate. Or she's decided to look at it and interpret this as an opportunity, as a challenge, as an invitation to rise up and turn her pain into power. That's a choice. It's an attitude. What gives people the strength of that attitude? I think sometimes it's the clarity of what the consequences are and understanding that. You know, very often the choices people make is between pleasure and pain. We want pleasure in our life and we want to avoid pain. But research shows that what's more motivating between those two is actually pain. That people are more motivated. I mean, if a person wants the pleasure of losing weight, but there's the pain of giving up that chocolate cake, the pain seems to, you know, which is more immediate, seems to overcome the pleasure, which is down there in the future. And so the pain can, you know, and I think a person needs to understand, I think she realized that she will be living with so much more pain by simply living in her misery rather than turning it into mission. And that was, I think, very, very courageous and very intelligent for her and her children. And I think the very fact that she realized that she had that choice. I think a lot of times people don't think they even have any choice here. It's just like, I'm a victim. I am a victim. There's nothing I can do here. And she decided, you know what? I can choose to see myself as not simply a victim, but I will be victorious in turning my tragic event into an opportunity to do more good in the world. And that is really wonderful. And I bless her with strength to go on and continue to do that good and feel good from it.
And I have to say, it was really an inspiration. And her point, and this is the part I keep thinking about, because she said for herself, she went through a major tragedy that totally upturned her life. And she, again, not everyone goes through tragedies and realizes they have this choice they have to make, but it really made her look and realize at a certain point afterwards, I have to make the choice here. Am I going to just be, as again, a victim of misery here? Or am I going to find a sense of meaning and purpose and mission within this? But she was telling all of us that we all have this choice to make. I thought that was very powerful. It's not just going through a tragedy that all of a sudden, you know, stops you in your tracks in the direction you're taking in life. I just, and her point was to some extent that she very consciously thought about this, but sometimes in life, we all, whatever circumstances we're going through, they gave the example, you're a mother. A mother can be a victim to motherhood. Oh, poor me, I can't go anywhere because I have little kids and everything's always a mess and there's always yelling and screaming and what happened to my own personal development. Or we can be on a sense of purpose and mission. What an opportunity I have here to, you know, really have these opportunity to develop these human beings. I have the time, you know, make enjoying the time that you have with your children, seeing the positive and the good. It's all a choice. And I thought that was very powerful because I think there's so many times in life we live our lives, especially when there's not something to shake us up in our lives, we're going in a certain track. And so often we can be more in this victim mode or victims to misery of circumstances that if we chose to change our attitude, as you said, it's all about attitude, we can have a real sense of purpose and mission. But I don't know, and this is what I kept thinking about, that when life is, so to speak, on a regular course, we always stop and really consciously make this choice, but we should. Because before you know it, you can fall into the other side of things if you don't consciously choose to be on a sense of mission and purpose in any aspect of our lives, of what we're doing.
Well, that's, you know, obviously she's decided that her mission in making that choice is her mission to encourage other people to realize that they too have that choice. And this was a realization that Viktor Frankl realized and came to in, you know, he wrote the very famous book, Man in Search of Meaning. And that essentially he realized in the concentration camp that I have no control over the circumstances. I am prisoner in a concentration camp, but I have the choice how I'm going to view it and what attitude I'm going to adopt and what meaning I'm going to give it. And that was the ultimate of liberation. And I think it actually is very appropriate to the parshiot, the portions of the week that we are studying right now in the Torah, which is about the Jewish people getting out of Egypt. And, you know, I heard it put very, it's very interesting that we assume freedom is a concept. We've all heard of freedom, and it's just an obvious concept, and everybody yearns for it. But in the time of the Jewish people in Egypt, there was no concept of freedom. It wasn't, I mean, we can't even fathom what that could mean because it's just so obvious, of course, freedom. But in their time, there is no freedom. You're a slave. If you are weak and I can control you, then that's the way it should be. That's kind of like, you know, going into the jungle and trying to preach to lions. Listen, you know, you got to be nice to lambs and creatures that are less powerful than you. You have no right to do that to them. That was like ridiculous. What are you talking about? You know, and so the whole idea of freedom is actually born. The Jewish people getting out of Egypt was not just simply the birth of the Jewish people as a nation. It was the birth of the concept of freedom. And when Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, listen, there's a God and let my people go. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, he basically grew up taught that he is a God. He's in a country where that the king is a god. So this is a huge paradigm shift for a man. Like, you know, what are you talking about? I'm a god, and I can do what I want, and that people should be free? What are you talking about? And so this very idea of freedom, I think we don't, I don't think we celebrate it and recognize it enough that we have freedom because we see that we don't have freedom in so many of the circumstances of our lives, we kind of just assume that then there's no freedom, and we don't recognize that the ultimate freedom is an attitude, the freedom to choose what you're going to believe is happening and what you're going to do in response to what's happening.
And this is where it is so important to really recognize where we do have this ability to make this free choice, to have free will and free choice, because there's so many times I think we put energy into trying to change situations and circumstances that are really totally out of our control, and we get very frustrated. and it's not going to make any changes in our lives, but to recognize where do I really have the ability to make a change in my life, especially when so many aspects of life can feel like they're out of control, because it's true, there's certain circumstances in our life that are not in our control. But if I can focus all of my energy and clarity and recognition of what I do actually have control over, which, as you're saying, is my attitude, is my choice of how I'm going to respond to a situation. Those are the only areas that I truly have control over. But when I put my energy into those areas, then I am empowered, even if the circumstances are very, very challenging and very difficult, because I'm putting all of my energy into an area, my attitude, the choices that I make of how to approach a situation that I only truly have control of. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron talking about a message from an amazingly inspiring woman who's gone through tremendous tragedy, the widow of 1 year of the wife, Rabbi Raziel Sheva, who was killed a year ago. And she gave over the message that she had to make a choice, and this is a message for all of us in life. We have to make choices. Are we going to be a victim of misery to our circumstances, a korban, or live with a sense of shlichut, a sense of mission and purpose? And as you were explaining with such clarity, that we have to recognize where we actually have a choice in our lives, and that's many things we don't have control over, so many circumstances that happen to us, but we do have the choice and attitude. And I was thinking, too, that this idea of whether you're a korban, a victim, versus on a sense of shlichut, mission, it's an attitude towards life. Or am I going to be passive in my life or active in my life? Because to an extent, a victim and a korban is all about, well, these are things that have happened to me and there's just nothing I can do about it. And just focusing on the parts of life that it's true. There's many parts of life, you're saying, we don't have control over. And if I just focus on that, I become this victim, as opposed to being active in life, which is having a sense of mission. To live with a sense of mission, you have to be so actively doing things, but focusing and putting our energy into the areas of life that we actually have the ability to change and do.
Right. There's a beautiful teaching from Mark Twain. He said, sometimes it wasn't a bad choice, but poor imagination, because you didn't have the imagination to realize there was actually a third choice. And I think that's the interesting and important part of therapy, that a person went through something extremely difficult, painful in their life, and a therapist is going to help you reframe that and give it a new interpretation and use it in a different way, then allow it to control you. You decide to determine what meaning it's going to inspire you to have in your life. And sometimes the greatness of the therapist is that they can give you a way of looking at what happened in a way that you didn't even think of. You know, you didn't even think of it that way. And, you know, I often have that discussion with my wife. She's a little bit like my, she's not a professional therapist, but I think she could be one. And, you know, and in my conversations, the things that might have happened to me. And she always has this really amazing way to interpret what's going on in a very creative way that is so empowering and really relieving and liberating from the way I was interpreting it. And so sometimes that's the choice. The choice is to go talk to somebody else and see if they can give you a different interpretation, because we might not have the creativity or just the objectivity to step away from what's going on and see it with new eyes. And going back to the idea of Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim, all is by the hands of God except for Yira, the word Yira has been translated as reverence, awe, but it comes from the word to see. And that really is the ultimate choice, is what do you see? What do you choose to see? And I know in so many cases it's incredibly difficult what to do with it. But, you know, I've shared that often people ask the wrong question. They ask, why is this happening to me? And I encourage people to ask a different question. Now this is happening to me. What is this happening asking of me? And this is what Rebbetzin Shevach realized, and so beautifully is going out there and teaching and sharing and inspiring people that, you know, that have not been faced with, and some have been, but many have not been faced with the tragedy that she's been faced with. And she got up and she decided to move forward with her life and take her tragedy and turn it into an opportunity to bring good to the world.
And you know, it is so powerful, because something that she shared, because she was very realistic, and that made her a very real person, saying that she's made this choice of having a sense of purpose and mission, but it doesn't mean there aren't times she goes more into that victim mode. And she said, I have every right to be there, but that's not somewhere she wants to stay, and she has to get herself out and she has to move out. So she said, though, that what helps her a lot is she tries to think about all of the good that has come out of this tragedy. And she said there's a new community that's named after her husband that didn't exist and is only there because of, unfortunately, his murder. There are multiple Torahs already that have been written and that have been donated to they live in a small community in memory of her husband. There are a number of schools that have been started. Her husband had a very unique approach to learning Torah, and there have been a number of schools inspired by him and started that now have his name, Raziel, that were in his memory. And she says she tries to think about all of the good, all of the positive and good that has come, and it really gives her the strength to continue on with living with a sense of purpose and mission. And it's so what you're talking about of she can't change what happened, but depending on how she thinks about it. And she says when she starts going into that place of depression and falling apart, she tries to consciously put her mind into a place of all the good that is coming from this, and that changes her perspective and gives her the strength to live with a sense of meaning, purpose, and mission.
Yeah, well, I thought it's so powerful. And I would add, you know, actually it's a beautiful teaching from last week's portion when Moses is being called upon to take up this mission and free the Jewish people from Egypt. He does not want the job, and it comes up with all kinds of all kinds of ways of looking at it, that to present the case that I'm not the right guy, they won't be receptive. But one of the claims he says is, they're going to ask me your name. What am I going to say? And the question is, what does that mean? They're going to ask me your name. What am I going to say? What does that have to do with, I can't do this, I won't succeed? So Lubavitcher Rebbe has a beautiful teaching. He teaches that God says to Moses, tell them that I will be as I will be. And the great commentary Rashi says, that means I will be with you in your pain, and as I was with you in your pain, meaning that I am with you. And so what kind of answer is that, right? First of all, you're just telling me that you'll get out of this exile, but you'll be in another one, and just know I'll be with you and I'll share your pain with you. But really the Lubavitcher Rebbe was saying, the people are saying, who is this God? Where was he before? We've been in pain for all these years and now he shows up. Well, it doesn't make any sense. What kind of God is this? And the answer is that Hashem says, look, I'm with you in your pain. I know you don't understand why you're in pain, but at the very least, I want you to know that I'm with you in your pain. And this is the teaching of Job, that Job is being tested with terrible tragedy in his life, and he's trying to figure out, why is this all happening? And in the end of the story of Job, God shows them and says to him, where were you when I created the world? And the basic understanding is, listen, do you understand life? You're trying to understand death. You don't understand life, the mystery, the miracle of life. So reserve judgment in terms of understanding death. But just know that I cry with you and I share with you. And I'm not simply stoically watching what you're going through from above. I am literally with you in your pain. And so when a person takes that attitude that, look, I don't know why God is allowing this to happen, but I do know that God is with me in my pain and that I'm not alone in my pain. And if God is willing to be with me in my pain, there must be some great purpose here, some divinely great purpose, because why would God want to be in this pain with me? So it doesn't give us an answer, but sometimes what's more important than an answer is a feeling of compassion and empathy.
And the idea of giving pain purpose is so important when we're going through pain, especially in giving us the right attitude, because I was thinking it's true. There's a person, woman is going through childbirth and she's in tremendous pain, but she knows it's to give birth to the child, and that rebirth gives so much purpose to the pain. It's tolerable. I think there's times in life when we can feel like there's no purpose to a pain. Sometimes it's much more difficult to see the purpose in pain that we go through. And that's when the pain becomes much more painful. It can be the same kind of pain, but depending on how we think about it, if it seems to have purpose or not, the physical and emotional experience we go through is so different. And so same thing with emotional pain. If we can find some sense of purpose and meaning or something good to come out of it, it doesn't mean that it's not there, but it's not the same kind of pain as feeling the pain without any sense of purpose.
But I also think it's important that people accept the pain as normal. Just like what Rebbetzin Shebach is doing, she's able to also embrace her down times and know that that's okay, because that itself can really undermine people's ability to move forward, is that they don't accept that, yes, this is pain and you have every right to cry. And you should cry, and you should feel the pain. So it's important that as much as we want to turn the pain into power, we're not avoiding the fact that it really is pain, and allow ourselves to feel that pain. Because I think sometimes people can go to the other extreme, and because they so much want to turn the pain into power, they are in denial that there is pain, and they're going to have their down times.
And the dying time itself does serve a purpose, because if a person is always, always on a high, there is something to that experience of being down, but then channeling that pain into something constructive and good. And if we never have that downtime, then there isn't any sort of that, it's like that going down to go forward and go up.
Right. Well, you know, a person that works out in the gym, they wake up in the morning and they have aching muscles and they enjoy that. And why would they enjoy that? Because they understand that that was part of, they are working out and they're building their muscles. And if they didn't feel aching of muscles, then they would probably feel disappointed. So I think it's important to understand that part of the growing and part of the giving birth to higher parts of ourselves is that pain.
When we return, Soul Talk, read by David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson,
and me, William Hall,
on The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron, talking about finding a sense of purpose and mission through the challenges of life, and recognizing that this is a choice. We can choose to be a victim of misery or choose to live with a sense of purpose and mission. And we're talking about Rebbetzin Shevach, who's gone through a major tragedy of the murder of her husband a year ago. You also brought up Viktor Frankl earlier on, and his recognition that in the camps that he didn't choose to be there at all, in the concentration camps during the times of the Holocaust, but the only choice that he had was what was the attitude he was going to have while he was in the circumstances that he had no control over. And I was thinking, these extreme examples of the tragedy and of the Holocaust, they're so powerful I feel like such an inspiration for everybody, because unfortunately there are people who go through extreme tragedy today. And for those people to see inspiration like this of people who've been in such tragic, painful situations and yet have the strength to somehow make the choice of choosing to live with a sense of purpose and mission and trying, making the choice. Again, as Rebbetzin Shevach said, it's not just a one-time choice. You have to make it over and over again. And sometimes you aren't always successful making it, but ultimately that's most of the time that's where you're trying to be. These people are such inspirations to people who've gone through major challenges themselves. But then for the average person who has his general ups and downs, and this is what I appreciate what she shared, is that we all have to make this choice to some extent in our lives. And in certain ways, I think for all of us, when you see people who have gone through such extreme circumstances and can make this choice that this is how I want to live my life, for all of us who just have your day-to-day challenges and struggles and aggravation, it's such an eye-opening wake-up call to remind us that we need to make this choice even more, especially when we don't have so much resistance of pain to pull us in a different direction.
Well, it also has to be set within a bigger context philosophically. Whether, you know, it's like what I think of is that just look at your finger. Just marvel over the perfect engineering of the finger. And then contemplate just an eyeball. You know, I like to look at clips on the internet on the wonders of nature, the wonders of the human body. You know, I recently heard a talk that there's 37 trillion cells, you know, in the body. That's like outrageous. And within every single cell is the coding of DNA, actually a double coding of DNA that has the coding of everything in it. When you begin to fathom the wisdom that we literally are right this second, this miraculous wisdom, why should we assume it? It's not reasonable to assume that my eyeball, my finger, my kidney, my heart is such a miracle and so perfectly designed, and my life is not. And my life is just haphazard, and there's no meaning, and there's no purpose, and there's no wisdom behind the events that are happening in my life. So I think that can give people that, you know, that emunah, that trust in God, that God knows what he's doing, and if something happens, there must be a good reason, even though it's incredibly painful, right? But it's believing that there's a good purpose somehow here in this event will give a person to cope and move through it. Just like a friend of mine once said, if you believe that God will take you to it, then believe that God will get you through it. Hmm. And the more you believe that this was not haphazard, this was not, you know, a lot of things could have happened. I mean, there's, God forbid, but there are shootings, and sometimes people, you know, it misses. Or recently, you know, the couple that was shot, and thank God they're doing well miraculously. So it's important to remain with the committed awareness that God is running the world, and nothing ever happens, you know, as just a pure accident.
And that perspective is so important, because I think it is so true that when we're in a situation, that whatever the challenge that we're in, so we get so focused, and we get like almost are looking at the small picture, at a slice of my life, a part of my life, a moment in my life, a small time period in my life, this specific situation. And sometimes we have to almost zoom out, as you're helping me with here, and seeing this larger picture of life, how it's, you know, this certain circumstance that I'm in right now that's very challenging or painful or whatever it is, but instead of focusing so much on it that I can't think outside of it, I have to almost take a step back, and in order to have a certain perspective that will enable me to have choose to have an attitude and a thought process about and perspective about it, which is, as you were saying earlier, is the only choice I have, is what is my attitude going to be. Sometimes I need to take that step back to see that larger picture.
Right. And increase one's awareness of the wisdom that just is everywhere we look. We just see so much wisdom, so incredible brilliance in the design of the universe, all the way from the macro to the micro. And use that to encourage us that everything that's happening, there must be some wisdom behind that. And God willing, someday we'll merit to understand the wisdom, but at the very least, you know, give ourselves the strength to not simply say that this was just bad luck or just, you know, or just some terrible accident.
This perspective, and as you're saying, the philosophical understanding of this is actually so important to be able to truly ask this question that you said we need to ask, not why, but what is this happening asking of me? But in order to ask that question, I actually, as a foundation, need what you're sharing now of understanding that if I need the understanding and belief that everything that happens is with divine intervention, there's a plan. That it's just like, again, the intricacies of creation of any, of even the smallest cell, that there's such a design, then why would my life be any different? But I need to really, that big picture, I have to understand to, in order to apply this question in the small aspects of my life, is what is this thing, this happening, this situation asking of me?
Right. And I'm in awe of Rebbetzin Shevach, and it is just so beautiful that she, in such a short amount of time, it's only been a year, she's already going out publicly speaking, encouraging, inspiring. And that's an inspiration for us all to be able to, if she can go through what she's gone through and get up and do something, then so many of us that have much less challenges than that, you know, should be inspired and know that we can also get up and do something positive with whatever negative we're struggling with.
It's true. And there's so much good we can do with the struggles and challenges we've had, because I've had experiences myself where going through a certain challenging experience, and then realize that gives me sense. It has, you know, sometimes when we're in it, we don't see what the purpose and mission can be. But I've realized after the fact that it created a certain sensitivity in me to recognize maybe the pain of other people and to be able to empathize with someone else. And maybe if I didn't go through my own experience, I wouldn't have that ability. And when I can do that, it turns the experience I've had in the past into something constructive and positive. And again, is this idea of sense of mission, as opposed to just being there for what felt like no reason, but just pure pain.
Yeah.
And that's something we all go through, challenges. It doesn't have to be on a grand scale. But when we can recognize that the challenges themselves can serve some positive and some good function, some good purpose, and we actually do that, it transforms that experience into something so much more elevated, something so much higher, something that really builds us.
Right. And I would add to that, it's important, this whole concept of living with mission is not just a good idea in response to tragedy. It's actually what Judaism is all about. The whole teachings of Judaism, a mitzvah, has been translated as a commandment, but in a much deeper way, a mitzvah is a mission. And, you know, an angel in our tradition is an agent for God, and every angel has a different divine mission that they are in the world to perform. And we too, we are human angels. The difference is, an angel doesn't have a choice in his mission, or not in what his mission is, and not in that he has a mission at all. But we do, in terms of maybe not in what the mission is, because that's been given to us, but that we choose to accept that mission. And so living with a mission-minded approach to life, and turn everything into a mission, and realize that everything I do has purpose, and in some way there's something that Hashem is asking of me and counting on me to bring something about God's wisdom or God's healing or God's beauty or God's love or compassion or kindness into the world. And so we need to start now, not just simply wait for, you know, this painful choice between being a victim of misery or being a person of mission, but to already start now living with a sense of mission and ask ourselves, well, what can we do? I've mentioned this before. I heard this beautiful idea that we all grow up with, I mean, not all, but most of us grow up with someone asking us, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I've heard it really beautifully put that really the right question should be, what problem do you want to be part of solving when you grow up? And that already begins to put in the child's mind a sense of mission, that I'm here to do something. And it's not just about me and what's good for me. It's what's good for me is what I can do for us.
And that really, that attitude and that perspective transforms a day. Because I was thinking, if I recognize that every day I'm on a mission, and the mission is to bring good into the world, and as you're saying, the mindset of solving a problem, it transforms my whole day, especially a day where sometimes we feel like nothing that big happened, or a day of frustration, especially. We spoke about the last time, days of frustration. If I recognize, well, I'm on a mission, so maybe, you know, instead of being frustrated, I can recognize I had an opportunity to work on patience. I had an attitude on working on controlling my temper. I had an opportunity, you know, my mission today. And sometimes God is the one who's sending us our mission. So even if I have a plan for a certain day, but things don't work out the way I wanted, but if I'm in a mission mindset, then every day has an tremendous opportunity to grow and to make strides forward within the mission that we're here for. I want to thank you all for joining us. Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Lior Mandel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.